This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI,
on 720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my hard-earned freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
Yes, you should follow me on Twitter, because if you are, you'll know that I'm having quite the adventure in Los Angeles with my mom. This is Patty Vasquez, and I'm the girl out of Chicago. You can take the girl out, but you can't take Chicago out of the girl. And we are having quite the time in L.A. Now, Ro, you used to live out here, didn't you? I know that you spent a lot of time in Los Angeles, and I am trying to figure my way around the city. The traffic is insane, but I think what's making this trip a little bit crazier is the fact that my mom has, as she gets a little bit older, perhaps she's not quite as filtered as she used to be, and we saw a woman wearing these leggings. And mind you, everybody, I have grown up in a household where body image and body issues were kind of prevalent and part of conversation. My mom throughout my life has told me when I look good in something, but she often tells me when I look bad in something. And I would say that if I'm wearing a pair of sweats, she might say, "Oh my God, you are getting a fat ass. It looks like you put yeast in your ass and it's just rising."
Patty, I think that's everybody.
Is that everybody's mom does
my
that?
My mom is pretty darn critical, I'll be honest. She will let you know in a heartbeat, like, "Ooh, child, your hair look a hot mess."
Well, and I just wonder if there's a point where do they see themselves in us and think that we could be better somehow because they wanted to be better? I don't know what that is.
Maybe. I think every parent wants their child to be the best, especially with the generation that they're raised in. It changes things a little bit. For us, we're a little bit more sensitive than they were.
And that's what people will say, is that we're sensitive. I posted this tweet it's true, Ro. We saw a woman wearing leggings that maybe were beyond their stretch limit. And maybe she wanted to grab her body that way. But my mom said, "You know, you can't dress for the size you want to be." And she didn't say it to the woman. She said it to me, but in a way that was a little bit loud. And I was like, "Oh, boy."
Yeah.
This is how we're going
to... my mom.
Really? Does your mom do that to strangers, too?
My mom has a bad habit of saying things that she doesn't mean any harm by, but because she's this old Southern woman, she just kind of says whatever's on her mind in the sweetest, most rude way possible. there was a friend of mine has a tendency to sometimes get awkward, and my mom goes, "It's okay, baby. I know you're just a little touched."
Oh, no.
She didn't mean any harm by it.
Right.
But
it's all right. Well, because she's like letting somebody off the hook before she insults them. Is that the kind of the way?
Kind of, sort of.
I guess. I tell this story on stage about going down and getting my mom's advice on a dress I had bought. And I went downstairs, and I don't know, because we live in the same building. And at some point, Ro, you would think I'd learned my lesson. But I think I want her approval, I guess, is what I'm still going after, even after I'm a mother and I'm getting older, too. But I went downstairs and I said, "Mommy, what do you think of my dress?" She goes, "You are not going to believe this. For the first time in your entire life, you look good for once."
Oh, that's harsh.
But here's the thing, Ro. I took that as a win. The problem is, I turned around and she goes, "Never mind."
Was she referring to your butt, Patty? Big butts are in these days. I'm just saying.
No, you know what she told me? She said, she goes, "I can see your bra." And I was like, "Oh, is it?" I go, "Oh, is it see-through?" She goes, "No." And I said, "Well, what do you mean you can see the bra?" She goes, "I can see your back fat coming over the top and under the bottom of the elastic." Yeah. It went on.
Leave it to mom to be brutally honest.
Well, and so you're right, though. Maybe it is about, I guess, I was surprised on Twitter because I posted that comment she made. And I, you know, a lot of people who follow me on Facebook and Twitter know that I have this relationship with my mom. I love her. I admire her. And I do seek her approval. She does sometimes get a little bit aggressive aggressive when it comes to how I look and her way of describing it. So when I posted that, I was really surprised that some of the folks on Twitter were like really angry at my mom. They called her names, called her an imbecile. And I was like, wow, I guess, you know, it does sound harsh. But having grown up with her talking to me like that, I guess I don't feel the same way.
It's always different when it's you. You know, you know your parents, you know their intentions. And sometimes I think people on social media can only take it for face value.
Right. Yeah, they don't know. They don't know my mom.
No,
they don't
not
know she's
all.
They don't know that she's also glorious. She just happens to be, you know, 84 and speaks her mind and doesn't care.
Exactly. Especially not with her own kids.
No, especially not with us. Ro, it is, I have to tell you, we're going to talk a little bit later about how I'm already homesick, it's so good to hear your voice and even the engineers. It was great to hear Krista and Dan and hear Andrea's show and David Jennings doing the news. I'm like, I want to be in Chicago traffic and weather.
I miss you. You're in my old spot. I was there 2 years ago? That was my place of residence, so.
Yeah, but you got to admit, Chicago's still better. Come on.
I'll give you that. I was a diehard Chicago advocate while I was out there the entire time.
Yeah, there are a lot of transplants out here, but we'll talk a little bit about that, about the traffic, the food, the weather, which is, you know, the same stuff we talk about at home, but I think it's still better in Chicago. No matter how bad it gets, it's not L.A. Don't tell them I said that. It's a secret, right? Don't tell anybody. Shh. Let's take a break here. We're going to check in with Renato Mariotti, who has some thoughts about that letter that was shared by federal prosecutors. I think he has more than thoughts. I believe he may have had some input as to the story that we're all hearing about today, that federal prosecutors are saying they would charge President Trump with obstruction if he wasn't president. So we'll find out more about that. He's a legal analyst for CNN and a former federal prosecutor himself. So let's check in with him, and we'll be right back after this on 720 WGN. Patty Vasquez show. We got some cool tunes. I think that sounds awfully mellow. We are broadcasting. Well, I'm broadcasting from Los Angeles. I'm actually in the KTLA studios, where you often see our sister station for WGN television. I've got to walk around their studios and met a lot of their crew here. Their amazing engineers have been helping us with the connection. And of course, back home, we've got Krista and Dan Long helping me out tonight. And by the way, I don't even know what the weather's like. I've been out of touch with everything that's going on in Chicago, and actually with everything that's going on in the world. And that's why I wanted to kind of catch up with everybody and our friends and see what's going on. And, you know, we've got Renato Mariotti, who's going to check in with us in a moment to talk about his input on that letter that everyone's talking about, former federal prosecutors who have joined together to say that if they had this kind of evidence against any other defendant or a suspect or someone that they were investigating, they would charge them with obstruction. But because President Trump is the president and the DOJ has a policy of not indicting a sitting president, that was why Mueller chose not to. He also, my understanding of it is that they didn't want to make a decision because they didn't want to put it in the report because they didn't want to take away the president's ability to have his say, his day in court. So we're going to check in with Renato in just a few minutes. Coming up after the news, our good friend J.M. Alkers is going to be in studio playing some music, and Gen Z, the host of Getting Zen with Gen Z, will be joining us as well to talk about staying focused and avoiding the trap of comparing yourself to other people. We also have Allie Goodman, who's going to tell us a little bit about some great events going on throughout the Chicagoland area, where you can take if you have a family member with autism or sensory issues, she's going to tell us about the great theaters in Chicago and destinations where they have sensory sensitive locations and maybe rooms where you can kind of decompress a little bit. If you're not familiar with sensory issues, Hey, Ro. Ro is in the producer's booth. Ro, I just did. Are you not getting my text? I wonder if my stuff's not going out. I'll have to email it to you. We're a little bit. Ro, are you not getting my text from KTLA? I think I'm in some sort of a. I feel like I'm in a bunker. the folks.
I can still hear you.
Oh, hi, David Jennings. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm okay. I'm okay.
You're sounding a little forlorn.
No, I think I'm coming down with something, which is always so much fun.
Do you get that when like the weather warms up? Because for me, having to go in and out of air conditioning or heat and people haven't regulated the
temperature. Either way, warms up, gets cold,
yep.
Gets warm, but gets cold, then gets warm again. It's so much fun.
Or are you like me, David, where you refuse to admit that you have allergies?
I know I have allergies.
Well, then is that part of it?
I've had allergies since I was a kid. No, this is not allergies.
Oh, this is beyond that.
This doesn't feel like allergies. So,
see, I'm in denial about allergies. My husband always makes fun of me because I start getting, when the pollen count goes up, I start getting sneezy. I'm like one of the dwarfs. I'm sorry you're not feeling well, David.
Flonase, my dear, for allergies.
What was that?
Flonase. I'm familiar with Flonase. I was using it before it became generic and everyone was selling it.
I take Claritin.
I mean, when I was a kid, I got shots in both arms for allergies. It was that ugly.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Nothing to sorry about. It's just what happens.
I know.
I'm one of those lucky folks. It's like, okay, we got allergies.
When did you stop getting shots?
Oh, I guess before I was 11 or 12, I think.
Oh, man. You know, when I started dating my husband, he had to get shots every month just to be around me and my cats. I think it was the cats, not me necessarily. But
I have no comment. I'm leaving that alone.
I mean, that's a good guy who's willing to get allergy shots just to be around your cats. Yes, and I just realized the double entendre. That sounds... I'm not going to go there.
Okay. I'll tell you a story about cats when you come back.
Oh, wow. Is it an off-the-air conversation or on-the-air conversation?
Let's just say that when your girlfriend's cat decides to consider the idea of scratching you in a certain part of the male anatomy and you don't go running for the door immediately, you really like her.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Now, David, you've been reporting, I think, about that letter from former federal prosecutors who say that the
400 or so, yes.
400 or so. And I believe we might have one on the line with us. Renato, are you there?
I am.
Were you one of the signatories?
I was. In fact, I was part of the group that helped write it and put it together.
Oh, so tell us, Renato, former federal prosecutor and also legal analyst for CNN and practicing attorney, what does that mean that you guys would have prosecuted given the evidence that you had?
Well, it just means that, you know, if you look at the report, Mueller went through each of the elements of that crime and showed that there was substantial evidence as to a number of the specific instances. So, you know, really, I think Mueller went out of his way to try to be fair to the president by not stating it as a conclusion. But any prosecutor looking at that would see a lot of evidence and would see evidence that would meet all of the elements of those crimes. So what we wanted to do is help the public see what we saw there, which was very substantial evidence of wrongdoing.
Will you be drowned out by the noise that gets generated by other parties who don't share your perspective?
Well, I think that may be. Certainly we don't have the megaphone that the attorney general had. And I think, you know, he came to a different conclusion, you know, in part by rejecting some of the factual determinations that Mueller made. But, you know, we're doing what we can. I think as a group, we stood together, many of us were from Republican administrations, many career folks who spent 20, 30, 40 years in the Justice Department, all standing together to try to make a point to the American people.
And you've also been commenting on Twitter today, not just about the fact that you would charge with obstruction, but also that there are a lot of reasons for the House to require a request and at this point should demand to see his tax returns. Tell us a little bit about that, too.
Sure. Well, the House of Representatives has asked for his tax returns. The Ways and Means Committee has ostensibly asked for them so they could see, you know, look into the audit that supposedly occurred. But really, I think the better rationales for Congress are first, you know, to look for potential conflicts of interest. And second, to look at potential foreign sources of money that are going to the president and his businesses.
Do you think that that Mueller will testify in front of the House as well, in addition to everything else that the House of Representatives mm-hmm. wants to see and that Congress wants to consider? That seems to be one of the big, I would imagine, yeah. big elements, a key to this entire conversation.
Yeah. No question. I think that Mueller will testify. And in fact, I don't think there's any way that the president can prevent him from doing so.
How long do you think that Congress is going to be stuck if they decide to go after it, getting the tax returns and also actually seeing the full report unredacted?
I think it's going to take many months, and it's going to generate a lot of impatience on the part of a lot of folks.
That's something you have been stressing to folks who are frustrated, is that this is a long process, and including the fact that the House is moving to charge Barr with contempt. That's also going to be something that isn't necessarily going to be satisfying to people who are frustrated, and it seems like it's antagonizing people, like, get over it. What do you think about that, Renato?
Yeah, I think that it definitely is going to frustrate people. The reality of the situation is that these processes take time. I mean, contempt is something where the House is not set up to be a police force enforcing the laws. It is set up to legislate. And so really, there is someone called the sergeant in arms, who is a police force for the Capitol, but is not really equipped to go and arrest the attorney general. So I think that folks that are expecting the United States Congress to go out there and bring people to justice and jail people, that's not really what they do.
Gotcha.
So just, that's the reality.
So what do you, before we let you go, and I thank you so much for taking the time to join us, what do you think is going to, what are your expectations of what might happen next?
Well, I think what we're going to see is they're going to try to reach some agreement. The House Judiciary is going to reach some kind of agreement, with the administration on some issues, but then there's still going to be some litigation. And I think we're going to see some court battles that are going to go on for quite some time. And unfortunately, I don't think that people are going to get everything that they want in the near future. So if you're looking to see Trump's tax returns sometime in the next few months, you're going to be disappointed.
So the theme song is, you can't always get what you want. There you go.
Exactly.
Well, everyone can catch more of Renato's insight into all these issues by listening to his podcast. Follow him on Twitter. It's at Renato Mariotti, and the podcast is On Topic. Renato, have a great night. I know you're busy, not only with the cases that you're working on, but of course your appearances on CNN. So we appreciate your time tonight. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show, and we are hanging out in the Allstate Skyline Studio. In studio with me is Allie Goodman. We've been talking about the fun things you can do around Chicago, that if, in case you have somebody in your family or you have a friend and you're like, we just need something that's a little more sensory sensitive. There's some great events throughout the city of Chicago. We mentioned the Navy Pier's Chicago Children's Museum, yeah. The Botanic Garden. What's the therapy group?
City of Support.
City of Support, mm-hmm. And the new sensory room at the Shedd Aquarium.
Yeah.
And you can follow Allie Goodman on Instagram.
You can follow me on Instagram and Facebook, Allie Real to Real, and that's RealToReel, and Allie is ALI.
And every Friday, her podcast is up, Acting Up with Allie Goodman. And I was mentioning to her the last time she was in studio with me, we had Jen Zanotti. And I was like, well, let's talk to Jen Zanotti and see what she's up to. Hey, Jen, our Motivational Monday guru. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing? I'm so glad that you guys are together and we're talking.
Well, she was telling me that she's been taking some jujitsu classes with you.
Yes, she has.
I know. Jen's been trying to get me to come back. I went once.
Go,
I know.
It's so good.
Did you hear that tone in my voice? Yes, Allie has been.
I know. I want to, and it's funny because I was watching some. I want to say it was the first Captain America movie because we were trying to catch up to Endgame, and someone was doing some move, and they were like jujitsu, and I can't remember if it was that movie. I've seen so many action movies now that it's getting away from me.
It's everywhere. Jujitsu is everywhere. You're going to see it now. You recognize it. You're aware of it.
That's right. Well, now, do you see it when you're watching an action movie, Jen? Do you go, oh, that's this move or that pin or that escape? Are you?
Oh, yeah. You'll see it. Yeah, for sure. It's like, oh, yeah, look at that arm bar or whatever you may see. Like, there's a lot of different moves now incorporated. But I think what gets me is that you were so good at it. So I just know that it would be something you would love. That's why I push you to want to come back.
I'm just competitive. That's all.
Sometimes that's all you need.
You're strong. You've got some good technique there.
All right. I'll get back on the mat. I'll get back. I promise. Within the next 4 months. How's that?
Okay, that's a great timeline. Perfect. Well, I like the promise. I'm going to hold you to it.
I gave myself like 1 month might seem too much pressure, right? And then more than 6 months is half a year.
Yes,
so
right.
I was just splitting the difference. Yes.
Right.
Now, Jen,
that's perfect.
Jen, I was asking like what we should talk about, and then you messaged me, and you're like, "How about focus?" And I'm like, "That would be perfect." Not only do I have a terrible sense of focus sometimes, but one of the examples that you use was comparing yourself to others on Facebook, which is not just about like taking care of yourself, but just in general, it's not great, is it?
You know, no. I had a lot of clients recently that I felt like this was coming up with, and I was just hearing how they were talking, and I was like, you need to stop focusing on what you're not and focus on what you are. We have so much like negative self-talk about ourselves, and I think people just look at other people's lives and think, oh, they're perfect, or they have this, or, you know, they may be thin or look a certain way or whatever it could be. But we need to stop focusing on all of that because we don't know what's going on with somebody else.
Oh, no doubt about it. And the life that people put online isn't
so different.
Yes. I mean, of course, people put their happiest, shiniest things forward, because if they don't, they've seen other people who share all their misery and they don't want to be that person either.
Right.
I don't know of anybody who is everything. You know, genuine on social media. Every picture that is taken has been either retouched or taken over and over again till it's just the right angle so you don't have a double chin. Or I'm not saying anybody in particular. Myself.
No, we don't know who
right.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. I take mine like I'm at the bottom of a well. My friend Tamale taught me how to do that. She's like, chin down, eyes up, take with the camera from above. But no one's really putting their real face out there or their real life. So how do we keep our self-talk in a positive way?
Well, I think it's just looking at the good things that we have going on or the things that are our strengths. We can be so hard on ourselves. And I think that's the thing. It's like we're our own worst enemies. And you would never say that to somebody else or talk to someone else you love that certain way, but yet we do it to ourselves without even a second thought.
So what you're saying is we're being verbally abusive to ourselves, and we need to put ourselves in a timeout. so that we can have some time for ourselves.
There you go.
I'm just like, you know what? You are fabulous. Like, focus on all the amazing things you have going on and that you are, and that positive self-talk can totally shift that attitude.
And that's the thing. It is about shifting the attitude. And again, step away from social media. Or if you're going to do it, just go. And you don't have to be like judgmental or mean about it. But you can also accept that the people who are putting great things out there, they have their own. Everyone is carrying their own pain. And maybe one way for them to work it out is to like to show all these great things they're doing so that they feel better. Right. They might be using it to self-medicate.
Correct.
You know?
Yes.
Right?
We just don't want to get into that, and we don't want to judge, you know, ever what someone else is going through. But that's the thing. It's like it could look a certain way on the surface, but everybody has stuff that they go through at the end of the day. And
Absolutely.
We can relate to that with other people, even though we may see it or not. So we have to really look at ourselves and be like, okay, let me focus on me and not worry about what everybody else is doing.
You know, and I find that it's hard, as you mentioned, to say, here are the things that I can do and what I am capable of. You have to be really mm-hmm. honest and find the good things. I think that, you know, whatever that is, people will be like, well, you know, I'm, you know, even when you're not feeling well, like my father, when my dad was diagnosed with small cell lung cancer, like he still found things that he wanted to accomplish, even if it just meant taking out a bag of garbage. Mm-hmm. He felt like, you know, or walking 8 blocks to hang out with his friends rather than getting a ride because he felt like he was moving. Jen, I think that's probably the case, that we need to find those things that we can do and feel good about them as well. And be, you know, what I read was be addicted to accomplishment.
Ooh, I love that.
Right. So even if it is just getting out of the house, maybe you haven't been able to, maybe being under the covers is the most soothing thing for you at some point. And that's okay. Sometimes that's all you're capable of because you feel like you need mm-hmm. to hunker down. You know, the next thing is what is the thing you need to accomplish next? You know, some self-care. Don't you think, Jen?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I'm very driven by goals and achieving things. And I think setting those small bars for ourselves, no matter what situation we're going through, just a little thing and accomplishing something positive. It doesn't have to be a large, difficult task, just something simple. Because if we break down our major goals into things that we can do daily, they become a lot smaller and more achievable.
That makes a lot of sense.
Bite size, right?
Yeah. Are you finding ways, yeah. Allie, to make things bite size?
Absolutely. Well, that was something that Jen and I talked about very specifically was, okay, we live in a world, you and I especially, like it's like we're running to therapy, we're running to the school, we just don't have time. So how do we self-care within the nooks and crannies of the day? And so Jen came up with some great ideas, you know, very small things. And I was saying to her, I'm like such a control freak. If I can't get an hour in, then why would I meditate or why would I work
right.
out? And she was like, no, you have to reframe that and look at it in much. It's okay to do it for 5 minutes. If that's better than doing it for no minutes. And the time accumulates. And if you really, what did you say, Jen, that like, if you do something for 5 minutes, it turns into what, like, you really did the math for me. And it was amazing. Like how much time you get back. If you think about it.
Well, it was like, if you're doing something like 5 or 10 minutes a day, that's like 70 minutes a week. That's over, at least over four. It's almost 6 hours a month.
Right.
When
you think about it, it's like more time than you think. And so even if you journal for 5 minutes or you breathe for, you know, 2 minutes, it's something more than what you were doing before. And it's mindful. And so, yeah, I've been working on it. Thanks to Jen.
I like that she had, to work breathing into her schedule. Let's talk about that when we come back.
I was like, wait a minute.
Let's see what she meant. Let's take a break here. We're hanging out with Allie Goodman, the host of Acting Up with Allie Goodman, which is available every Friday, wherever you get a podcast, Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play. Jen Zanotti, our host here at WGN Radio, Getting Zen with Gen Z, available on WGNRadioPlus.com. And you can also visit her website, Gen Z Beauty. Is that right?
JenZanotti.com.
That's the one. JenZanotti.com for all the great work that she does there as well. More when we come back on 720 WGN.
I believe I'm the only one on the show who ever had a bust of my head made out of cheese. Minnesota State Fair, they thought it would be funny to carve my head out of cheese and then have listeners eat the cheese with crackers.
So they needed a lot of cheese then, right?
They had to send out for extra cheese. Yeah. There was a point where they were crafting my head in cheddar and they called Wisconsin. They said, we're going to need more cheese in stat.
Brought the whole state.
I don't think so.
Start your day with the Cheese Whiz. The Steve Cochran Show weekday morning, 6 to 10 on 720 WGN.
Hi, I'm Dr. Val Nandra from Ivy Solution and Ketamine Centers of Chicago. My clinic uses ketamine to conquer major depression, anxiety, and PTSD. The use of ketamine to treat depression has been described as the greatest advancement in mental health in over 50 years, with an up to 80% success rate. Here's my patient, Jason, who suffered from years of depression and anxiety, describing how ketamine from Ivy Solution changed his life.
The great thing about the ketamine is the side effects that I would normally get from other drugs, I don't get from ketamine. For me, it's been all upside, no downside. The side effects are the real problem for me, and I think for most people when it comes to treating anxiety, depression, and things like that. So I don't have to think about which is worse, the anxiety or the side effects. I just get to go back to living my normal life and not dealing with any side effects at all.
It's time you conquer your depression and anxiety. Call for your free consultation. 844-9-IV-MEDS. That's 844-948-6337 or visit KetamineChicago.com. K-E-T-A-M-I-N-E. KETAMINE, Chicago.com.
Hey, you with the Cubs hat. You part of the condo, HOA, co-op, or apartment building crowd?
What do you mean?
You a board member, an apartment building owner? How about a property manager?
Why, yes, I am.
Have I got a deal for you, the best in Chicagoland.
Better than deep dish pizza?
The Cooperator Expo coming to the Stevens Convention Center Wednesday, May 8th.
What about it?
It's where Chicagoland board members, property managers, and apartment building owners go for building services solutions. You know, management, insurance, security, landscaping, energy, plumbing.
Wow.
You want to hook up with over 150 exhibitors, free seminars, and advice? You want to network with your peers?
All of this for free?
Yep. May 8th.
I'll be there.
Bet your building assets you will. Get registering now at ChicagoCondoShow.com. Chicagoland's biggest and best condo, HOA, co-op, and apartment expo. The Cooperator Expo, Wednesday, May 8th at the Stevens Convention Center in Rosemont. ChicagoCondoShow.com.
Fisher-Price has recalled over 4.7 million Rock & Play sleepers after the product was linked to more than 30 infant deaths since 2009. Both the Federal Consumer Product Safety Commission and Consumer Reports warn that children may die in the Rock & Play sleeper after rolling over while unrestrained and under other circumstances. A class action lawsuit has been filed against Fisher-Price. In addition to causing death, the Fisher-Price Rock & Play sleeper reportedly increases a child's risk of developing flathead and twisted neck syndromes, conditions that may require babies to wear expensive head molding helmets and undergo physical therapy. If you've suffered the devastating consequences of a child who suffered severe injuries or death while using a Fisher-Price Rock and Play sleeper, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Contact the GWC Injury Lawyers immediately at 312-999-9999. With over $2 billion successfully recovered for their clients, they're ready to fight for the justice you deserve. Call 312-999-9999 or visit JusticeStartsToday.com.
You're listening to the... Oh, sorry. What was that, Jen?
No, I was going to say, can you guys hear me okay?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because I'm echoing on my end.
So oh,
I'm making
no.
sure I'm sounding fine.
How weird.
Okay.
That is weird. Okay. She's getting the echo. All right. Sorry about... I hate that feeling.
I'm working through it. It's fine.
I've been there. It's not easy. All right, here we go. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show, and we're hanging out in the Allstate Skyline studio with our good friend Allie Goodman. Now, by the way, just for full disclosure, I'll be in Los Angeles when this airs. So I'll be in the room listening to it. Ro will be here. I never like to lie to people, Ro. I never like to act as though I've done something.
She's going to straight pull the wool over their eyes this time.
Jeez. You know what? This is to make sure that we have conversation. Once in a while, you stress a little bit and you think, are we going to get that connection through? But I didn't want to go another Monday without our Motivational Monday guru, Jen Zanotti. And so I've got on the line. She and Allie Goodman have been doing a couple podcasts together as well, with the Acting Up with Allie Goodman, as well as Allie's been a guest on Gen Z's podcast, Getting Zen with Gen Z. And we were talking about breathing, because Allie has apparently scheduled that into her day. She makes sure that she breathes in and out. But you'd be surprised. I've been much more mindful of it ever since I read this article about breathing through your nose. I knew I wanted to talk to you guys about this. There are people that tape their mouths shut to sleep so they only breathe through their nose, because apparently breathing
Stop
through your
it.
Nose. I'm not kidding you. It's available. There's like surgical tape that people use.
I saw that. It's on. There was a thing on Shark Tank for that.
Oh, was it really?
Yes. That it's like some guys like trying to sell that.
Yes. Taping your mouth shut.
Breath.
Didn't we have this weird conversation before?
Ro was like, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone.
Oh, yeah. Deja vu.
Jen, what can you tell us about, first of all, I guess we should ask Allie what she means by scheduling time to breathe.
Yeah, I meant more deep breathing and really just taking in and being mindful about breathing, which is very different than the way I feel like I get through my day.
Right.
So this is more like actually being mindful about my breathing. Jen would say there's no bad way to meditate, so I guess you could call it meditation, but for me it's just like, no, actually, I just need to breathe.
Well, and that's a very important thing. We always need to breathe in those moments.
Right.
And a really good deep breath, like a nice inhale through the nose and an exhale through the mouth or nose.
We're doing it right now.
We're doing it right now.
I feel like Jen's guiding us through the art of breathing.
The art of breathing. It's taking that moment to breathe is like a form of meditation.
Mm.
but I would like you to breathe throughout the day.
I will try.
Just like for 2 minutes.
I really will try, Jen.
There's something that...
I know you will. And I look, know. I'm proud. I'm so proud.
As I've mentioned, I make mistakes too, but there's a, I saw a study about how, you know, when you, in the heat of the moment or during a stressful situation, if you can take a breath, if you can remind yourself to be mindful of the breath, that you can change your brain chemistry within like 3 to 6 seconds, which as most bad decisions are made more quickly. So you need to take that breath. Just saying.
But it's true. You really do calm yourself. You're in a different state of mind when you take that moment and breathe.
Right.
Like once you exhale and you reach like focus again, it's like, oh, okay. You feel like you're in a more calm state of mind.
Does we do that with Jackson? Like if he's starting to get really amped up or starting to have a meltdown, we actually tell him to breathe and take, he has to take at least 3 deep breaths. And it's funny that I can tell my son to do this and don't remember to do it myself. But I do see a change in him. Do you ever experience that with
Declan? Well, I mean, we have to do it sort of a, we have to give him a sort of a physical guidance because the reception of language.
Right.
Like telling him, you know, when we put a Kleenex to his nose and we ask him to blow out, like we can't.
Jackson sniffs in. So exactly. That is like he does not blow out. I cannot figure that out. He doesn't spit either. So we can't use fluoride toothpaste. So it's like we just can't get that through. It's so funny.
Exactly. Although it's a good point, though, Jen, that's what we all have meltdowns.
Yes.
You know, we always we kind of make it specific to our kids. Mm. But everyone's got those moments, and it's hard to catch yourself, isn't it, Jen, to take that breath?
It really is, but it's one of the simplest things we can do when you think about it. I mean, we do tend to get overwhelmed and stressed. We've talked about this with our schedules and just everything that we have to get done. It seems like everything's on like a timeline. But we can, if we just take that moment to breathe, that's the easiest tool that we can use in that moment.
Well, I have to remember. And by the way, do you use visuals, Jen, for when you're trying to relax? And I'll give you an example. When I'm trying to let go of a thought, I visualize, and this is so silly. It's the corniest thing. There's a couple of things that I have for visualization. But one of them is when I'm trying to let go of a thought, I imagine that it's on like a bed sheet, and that I'm outside in the sunshine, shaking it and hanging it on the line so that I just whip it so that I just like let go of the thought and then hang it on the clothesline.
Ooh,
so sort of like a clean slate. I'm a dork.
I was going to say adorable. You said a dork. I was going to like, that's adorable. I love that.
Like I'm adorable.
I'm a dork. But I'm one of those people that I really need specifics. It used to be a blackboard where I would like erase it, you know, but there's something about the crisp snap of a bed sheet and then hanging on the line and it's blank and starting
that. That's fantastic.
I love that idea.
That's the kind of thing I do. What do you do, Jen?
I mean, it's a really good thing to do. Well, I'm big on visualization. Like I tell people, even when, you know, I have to compete and going through that, you really need to kind of see yourself achieving or accomplishing that goal. But that's the same thing with you with the sheet. And even when I tell people to journal, you're letting go of that emotion and putting it somewhere. So you're visually seeing it or you're physically doing the act of it and releasing it. So visualization is amazing.
Exactly. Yeah, I recommend it. And then whenever I have to think of, you know, people tell you to think of your calmest, you know, someplace you remember being calm. I have to go all the way back to being about 11 years old. And just floating in the lake at Lake Pleasant and Girl Scout camp. I know I can go right back there. I can feel what the water felt like, you know, what the sunshine felt like.
That's incredible. We need to do a Reiki session because that's what I usually do with people is I walk them through a guided meditation and have them get to their happy place. And just it's deep visualization to get to that point to be super relaxed.
Do you have a happy place, Allie?
I do. Mine is actually in one of those, they actually have them at like the butterfly places that they have, you know, where it's like enclosed. Mm-hmm. So all that's in there are butterflies.
Right.
That I want a lounge chair and me and all the butterflies. That's all I want because it's so calming and they're so beautiful. And I can just like... I can let go.
I love that. Yeah. We have to get her a butterfly habitat for her for her space.
That'd be amazing.
What's yours, Jen?
Oh, I love being around trees. I mean, that's always my, you know, being in a forest or on the map. You know, those are my happy places.
A map in the forest. That's what we'll do.
There you go.
And you mentioned the Reiki. How can are those available at your salon? the Reiki services?
Yeah, absolutely. JenZanotti.com. People can go online and schedule.
Yeah, I'm going in for one very soon, Jen. I'm scheduling mine.
I love it.
Yeah, we talked about it.
It's all the mind, body, soul.
No, I need it.
So proud of you.
And where are your jiu-jitsu classes available?
I teach the women's program in Evanston at Seraph and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I do private sessions at my space in Highland Park.
And when we were talking about breathing, now I'm just curious because I'm trying to imagine Jen breathing. Do you have to pace yourself when it comes to, I mean, you know, are you able to focus on it when you're moving so quickly, you know, with holds and trying to escape and all those?
Yeah, that's a very good question, because breathing, a lot of times when people start jiu-jitsu, they forget, they don't breathe.
Hold their breath.
Yeah, I would.
They hold their breath big time. And you exert, like, you lose so much energy and you get so tense and you're so easy to move around that and you get super tired. It's just, you need to breathe. It's very crucial.
Yeah. All right, everybody. You know you're holding your breath right now. Breathe out. And there are like meditation apps. Believe it or not, there are breathing apps on how to regulate your breathing.
Apparently, I need to
start. Ro, have you been doing breathing apps?
Headspace is my morning ritual. Yes, love it. And I honestly like the different options they have. You can go to focus if you're trying to sleep, if you're trying to work out. Like, I like that they tone it that way. So, yes, I love Headspace. I had to get it myself.
That's good stuff.
Oh, look at that. How about you, Jen? Do you have an app you use?
No, I just breathe.
Look at you all fancy.
There's a lot of different guided meditation, or even on YouTube.
Yes.
Depending on different moods that you're in, or things that you kind of want to focus on, or bring in positivity, or breathing, something more relaxing. There's so many different meditations or frequencies on YouTube.
Well, I want to thank you so much for all the great advice. We've had Jen Zanotti on the line with us, the host of Getting Zen with Gen Z. And you can go to JenZanotti.com, right?
You got it.
JenZanotti.com. What's your Instagram account?
At JZ Beauty and the Beast.
And we also have Allie Goodman in studio. By the way, happy early Mother's Day to you.
Oh, thank you. To you, too.
And thank you for sharing some great insight and some places where folks can go and enjoy some time with their families. Yes. Throughout the Chicagoland area. You can go. And what's the website for your podcast?
Oh, my podcast is actinguppodcast.com.
And maybe I'll come to one of these jiu-jitsu sessions with you and
yes!
Allie. You can both beat me up.
I think you should.
Amazing.
Have fun tonight, Jen. I will talk to you again soon. Allie, wonderful to have you in studio.
Thank you
both soon. More after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show, and we're so happy that you're joining us. A few weeks ago, we welcomed Allie Goodman to the studio and really bonded with her, although I don't know if you bonded as much with me as you did with Jen Zanotti, our Motivational Monday expert. Allie is an actress, a voiceover artist. She also hosts her own podcast, Acting Up with Allie Goodman, and she shares her views of being a busy working mom and raising a child who has autism. Right. And it's kind of weird now we follow each other on Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
Because I'll post something, and I posted something about the attitudes towards kids with autism and this resistance of vaccinations. Mm. And the feedback that I got was very strange.
Yes.
And I messaged you personally. And I was like, this is weird, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. It's so frustrating, especially when you put out there something that is so controversial like that, and to see what comes back at you when you think you're just trying to, like, bring people together, and it doesn't quite always work that way.
It is. People, I think, hear what they want to hear, which is interesting for you and me, because we raise individuals who only hear things their way, too. You know what I mean?
So true.
And it's very hard to explain to people. Tell us a little bit about your child.
So Jackson is 6, and he was diagnosed at 3.5. And he's just such a joyful, happy kid. And, you know, there's so much out there that we've always talked about this, that you meet one kid with autism, you've met one kid with autism, and it's so true.
Right.
However, I think what doesn't get explained, because all you hear about, like, oh, the meltdowns and how hard it is and this, that, and the other, but there's so much joy that's also in there. I happen to have a very happy kid, which really helps, I think. And he has his own, yes, he's 100% in his own world a lot of the time. We were just having a meeting today with his social worker at school, and she was saying, you know, are you concerned about the fact that he's not, you know, he doesn't have friends and you don't do play dates and things like that? And I said, right now, he doesn't seem unhappy about it.
Right.
When I know that'll probably change, but at the moment, I have other things I would rather worry about. Because he's not bothered by it.
Right.
If he were sad that he wasn't getting invited to things, or, you know, he didn't have other kids to play with, then that would be my first focus. But he's happy. He loves his life. He seems fairly content as far as that goes. So why would I mess with that?
And I think that when we are asked questions like that, because it's hard for other people to fathom, mm-hmm. right? And even someone who works in their area, a social worker, may not realize that for us, I mean, or for Jackson, that's not what he aspires to. Like, he doesn't have that sort of frame of reference.
Of course.
I mean, like, we had one of our ABA therapists, applied behavioral analysis therapist, you know, and everyone comes from a different background, a different perspective, but he was concerned about Declan wearing this clip that has a chew tube attached to it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, you know, there's a social stigma. You know, maybe we want to wean him off of that so that people aren't staring at him for that. And I thought, well, but that's something that is soothing for Declan. It helps him regulate. And the, you know, the fact that's going to be bothersome for us. We have no frame of reference.
Right.
It's not, it doesn't bother us.
Exactly.
You know?
And why, I mean, right, it'd be more important for him to be soothed and worry about what other people are thinking about it.
And I think that goes to what we're going to talk about tonight, are performance-friendly environments for kids like ours. And part of it does come from, you know, families don't want to go someplace where they're going to be stared at, or people are going to roll their eyes or make, you know, noises, or, you know, a lot of passive-aggressive comments like, oh, I guess they'll let anybody in here, or keep that, you know, put that kid on a leash, or why don't you get a muzzle for him?
Mm-hmm.
So when, you know, it's sort of this weird arena of new experiences that we try to open ourselves up to, but we also shut ourselves off. What have you been noticing as far as like the performance-friendly areas or the places around Chicago that are welcoming to kids like ours?
So what I've really been excited about is that it's been much more, more and more places are doing this, and many more, especially the theater world, has really opened themselves up to doing sensory-friendly performances. AMC Theater does, I think it's the first Saturday after a new movie opens, they do a sensory-friendly performance, or, you know, showing. And I love it because I think that more and more, you know, as this becomes more mainstream, because mm-hmm. we do have a lot of kids, more than you think, that are struggling, and not necessarily diagnosed, but are struggling with sensory issues. And why wouldn't it can be inclusive for everybody? Everybody can join. So why wouldn't we roll out the carpet for everybody, right? So I love that there's more places that are doing this. Because I'm an actor, I'm even more excited about the fact that the theaters are really taking this on. You know, we've seen it for accessibility, for closed captioning and whatnot, but now they're even opening it up to more, this is a sensory-friendly show. We're dimming, or, you know, we're not turning the lights totally off. We're leaving lights on a little bit. We're making the sound a little bit less overpowering. If they use strobe lights, maybe that gets knocked out for that performance. Things that would, you know, typically be overwhelming on a sensory level.
Right. I remember when I took Declan to performance of Blue Man Group.
Yes.
Right. And we went on an autism-friendly day, and it meant that there were areas where maybe it was too much to be in the theater, you know, they had closed circuit screen. So if your child wanted to leave and go someplace to play and have a little more room, Declan and I could go, and I could still watch some of the performance where Griffin and Steve were. Right.
That's
so
great.
So we can at least all kind of share in the same experience. Steve and I are a pretty good team where we take turns. You know, I walk a little with Declan, or he walks a little with Declan. But not all of us have that opportunity. A lot of single parents raising a child with special needs and getting the chance to go to a performance mm-hmm. where they might feel like, OK, this is a place. And look, by the way, there are families, maybe it won't work for you, but doesn't mean we give up trying.
Correct.
And finding that space that works.
Correct. Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because I find that I love that they do that. Because even my child is a sensory seeker, so he
yes.
looks for, I mean, going to Blue Man Group, we actually are hoping to do that coming up. I don't even know if it's necessary to go on an autism-friendly day, because he would be overwhelmed in a good way.
Right.
For him, it'd be like, give me more. But other children on the spectrum, that's the opposite, and too much stimulation is too overwhelming. But either way, it's nice to know that there's a place to go, because, I mean, my kid probably couldn't sit the whole time. Right. So, you know, even on those AMC sensory days, he's still up and wanting to run in the aisles and running, you know, out the door, and we have to go catch him. And we have the same situation. My husband's we're a very good team. We switch off, and
right,
one's with one kid, one's with the other, and you just kind of, you figure it out, you know?
So let us know, what are some of the discoveries that you have?
Yes.
For May? These are performances coming up throughout the month?
Yes. This is stuff that, some of them are events that I've actually experienced, and then some, there's actually one that I haven't actually done yet. So we'll see what happens. So the Chicago Children's Museum does this amazing thing. They're down at Navy Pier. And the second Saturday of every month, they have this thing called the Play for All event, where they invite families with disabilities or anything to experience the museum. Mm-hmm. So it's this inclusive multisensory program, and they open an hour early, and they allow pre-registered guests to get in for free. The first 250 get in for free. And it's so great because it's a much quieter event, because there's like not nearly the amount of people there.
Sure.
At 10 o'clock, then they open for everybody, but you get a whole hour where it's a much smaller group. So for kids with sensory issues, they get in, they can go play with everything. They don't have to worry about being like knocked out of the way or like pushed, you know, aside or whatever. I know Jackson is the kid that would just hang back and wait. Now he doesn't have to wait because he can go, and he doesn't have to feel nervous about all the other kids there. So it's pretty cool.
Right. Kind of being in someone's way. Now at the Children's Museum at Navy Pier, what's great is that there are also multi-levels.
Yes.
If you have a kid that's a little bit bold, they have this ship where you can kind of climb through the middle of it. And of course, we have to keep up by climbing the stairs on the outside of it.
Right. Yeah.
But you can also follow your kid in too. You can climb with them. There's a rope bridge. There are like ladders and things like that. Then there's also the ambulance. Do they still have the ambulance there in the middle?
I don't know if you saw them. Oh, no, yes, they do. Yeah. They do. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yep, so my boys are now 13 and 15, so I'm trying to remember.
I know.
And then on the top floor, they have this area with the waterworks kind of area.
Yes.
Where kids can sort of build their own, you know, whether it's a moat or learn how to divert the water and learn a little bit about a cause and effect.
Yes.
And as you mentioned, for sensory-seeking kids, it's really a fun place there.
So cool.
There's something for everybody at the Children's Museum.
And that was the great thing, is that you saw kids that clearly were there who have sensory issues, but then their siblings were there or their friends were with them. And it was so nice because it really did feel inclusive completely. And it was just lovely. So I highly recommend that. And, you can go to their website and you can look that up. But again, yeah, it's great.
But I love, yeah, Chicago Children's Museum at Navy Pier. Yeah.
And then there's this new charity group called City of Support. They just got their 501c3 status, and they're great. They actually have a Facebook group and everything, and we went to their therapy play group. Basically what it is again, typically for kids with sensory issues or disabilities or whatnot, but the one I went to had siblings there as well. And a lot of times they include the whole family. So lots of times they have things like coffee for caregivers is one of my favorite things that they do. And they have a couple coming up in May. And those are mostly in the suburbs. I think there's one in the south suburbs that's coming up, as well as one in Arlington Heights. And they have them on their website as well. And it's cityofsupport.org. And it's run by Beth Dieter. And I can't stress enough how wonderful they are, because the whole point is to bring families for inclusion. So I love it.
Oh, that sounds great.
So that's great. And we really enjoy that. My other favorite place to go is the Botanic Gardens.
Yes.
Right? So, okay. So it may seem a little bizarre, like, okay, there's just so much to do there. It can be feel overwhelming, but for our kid, it's lovely because, again, and you might appreciate this, the walking is so great. So if Declan likes to walk, like Jackson loves to be outside and walking. And if I have him going places, he's usually willing to attend and do what needs to be done. And there's so much to look at. And then you can also get really specific, and like you can look at just this one flower, or you can look at the whole waterfall, or you can walk across the bridge. And there's just so many things to do there, and it's peaceful and it's typically calm except on Mother's Day. I would highly recommend, unless you really are seeking a lot of crowds, maybe pick a different day, but in general, it's just, I love the Botanic Gardens for that.
And they also have that, that with the kind of the sightseeing sort of trolley bus thing too.
Yeah, so walking is too much, you can get on the trolley. It's great.
Not too bad.
Yes.
We are hanging out with Allie Goodman. Her podcast, Acting Up with Allie Goodman, gives you an insight into her life as a mother, an actress, a voiceover artist, and the mother of Jackson, who is on the autism spectrum, and her little one, Jordan, And then we'll talk a little bit more with Allie when we come back. You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show, 720 WGN.
Hey, Ro, one of our good friends of the show, John Harris, just texted and said, Beggars is great. It's a Southside chain, and our friend pizza snob Dave Lundy would probably hate it. Lots of sauce.
It is lots of sauce.
I want all the sauce. Oh, I'm so hungry now. I'll have to have Chinese food instead. I'm actually near Little Armenia. I'll figure it out.
You should go. They actually have pretty good Chinese food out there.
Oh, they have great Chinese food, great Thai food, too. See, now we're all hungry. All right, our conversation with Allie Goodman continues after the news. You know you want to hear the Steve Cochran Show as he celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Here with your news is Vic Vaughn.
You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show, where we are hanging out in the Allstate Skyline Studio with Allie Goodman. You can catch her podcast every Friday that you release this?
I do, yep.
Acting Up with Allie Goodman. What has been your response in the last few weeks with some of the conversations that you're having?
So, I'll be honest, I'm the most surprised because most of the people that I hear from are actually parents of neurotypical kids.
Really?
Yes, I was so shocked by this. Most of them are the ones that seem to be the consumers every week, you know, whereas I find that my friends who have the kids with special needs tend to have to catch up, which makes sense. You know, I mean, think about it, right? Yeah. Think about your life and, like, you know, who has time. But so they'll binge it, but mostly the ones that are keeping up every week tend to be the ones that, and I think it's because, one, they're curious. They know me. They know, you know, they feel like they know Jackson if they've never actually met him. And I feel like they want to be helpful. They want to be allies, but they don't know how.
Right.
So my podcast is helping to sort of foster that information and conversation for them so that they then know what to do when they're in a situation.
Interesting.
Yeah, which has just made me so happy. It was a bonus moment, right, you know, for that.
So they want some insight. They're appreciative of the conversation. I love that.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. What are some of the things that they didn't think of that actually applied? I bet you there are some things, because if you take a step back, you and I, even though, you know, we have this sort of unique experience, there's also a broader sort of, you know, I think in consumption of what the world is like, you know, if you just hear some of the stories, a lot of people are resistant when they hear someone talking about a child with special needs. They're like, I think part of it is they don't want to feel bad. In some ways they get defensive because they hear something and they're like, well, I don't act that way.
Right.
And all we're asking is that you listen with love is one of the things we've been talking about on this show, instead of listening from a place of contempt or resistance. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen with love. It's hard.
It is.
I know. I mean, we all have those moments, and we've been talking about some of the fun things to do around the city. You know, if you have a child with sensory issues, and by the way, the Botanic Gardens for everybody, what a great place to walk and meditate. And I know a lot of people also like the other gardens. I haven't been to the ones in the west, the western suburbs. Do you want to talk about, there's another botanic. There's the Chicago Botanic Gardens up north.
Right.
And then there's the Morton Arboretum.
the Arboretum. Yes, we haven't been there.
I've never been to the Morton Arboretum.
And I hear it's amazing.
We talk about it all the time on this show. Yeah,
let's just go.
Yeah, we've got to get that done. And there are, and if you Google, AMC does have some sensory sensitive days. And for those who aren't familiar, our kids who might, your son and my son, both sensory seeking.
Yes.
And for me, that means that Declan wants to hear what everything sounds like. Like, we were watching Infinity War, and the music is soaring and there's all this action, and he just starts laughing and dancing at that kind of, because he loves the sound of it.
I love that.
What are some of the things that Jackson seeks out?
So Jackson always wants to be on the move. Mm-hmm. So if we're at PT or whatever, he's jumping on the trampoline or he's jumping into the ball pit and things like that. So he likes the feel of, I think, the anything impacting his body, loves that. And then the other thing, this is a very funny one, actually, we thought he really liked to watch, he doesn't like to watch a lot of movies because he can't sit still, but he'll watch pieces of things.
Right.
We thought that maybe he was really into Star Wars, and we learned it wasn't Star Wars that was drawing him in, it was the scroll at the very beginning.
Oh, sure.
So we found on YouTube, somebody had put together 7 of the movies, the beginning scroll.
So it's all scroll.
It just scrolls for like 10 minutes, all the movies, and he is rapt just watching, listening to the music and watching it go. And he's got a great ear, so he just, like, he can sing the music with. It's hysterical.
Isn't it great when you find those things that your child then also has control over? Because I'll bet you he rewinds it and watches it again on his own.
Absolutely.
So for Declan, it is actually videos, you know, people use their GoPro of getting on trains all over the world, going through subway systems, going down the escalator. He'll watch this one video in, I think, Japan, of these people going on the escalators, going down to the trains. Yeah, and it started because when we were going to Disney World, Steve wanted him to see what it was going to be like from our hotel to some of the places we were going to. And then Declan just started down this, you know, because once you get one video of a theme, whether it's driving somewhere or taking the train somewhere, then all next thing you know, he's got access to all these videos.
Oh, yes. You know? Oh, that's he loves that. So brilliant. I love it.
Well, and that's really, you know, you and I have to come at it as problem solvers. You know, how do we help our kids find the, you know, their potential and their best experience? But what we find can also help a lot of other people.
So true.
Doesn't matter what, you know, where you are. We'll meet you where you are.
Right. We'll meet you where you are.
Just meet us where we are. That's all we're asking.
Exactly.
I do love that there are parents who have, as you mentioned, neurotypical.
Yes.
And folks might want to know what that means.
I probably should explain that, right?
Just not like our kids.
Yes, you know? Right. Our kids are more neurodiverse, I would say.
Yeah, I guess.
That's my favorite way of putting it.
I know, isn't it funny the language that you get?
I know.
When you go into these, there was one school we took a tour of, and they were calling our kids the diverse learners.
Oh, okay.
But then they called the other kids the general population.
The gen pop, right?
The gen pop. And I was like, they're not incarcerated, are they?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't understand what the language is. That's the part, I think, that it was hard for me when Declan was diagnosed, was sort of this whole world of, you know, all the early intervention, which is something that you and I, because he was 3.5, but you already knew that you needed some help.
We already knew that he had some developmental delays and some sensory stuff, but we didn't know, we did not have a diagnosis. Yeah. So, right. But yeah, we went through a year of EI from 2 to 3.
For those not familiar, early intervention is actually a federally backed program across the country. Every single state has early intervention. Some states go only from birth to 3. Some states go from birth to 5.
Yes.
In the state of Illinois, the goal is to get them to preschool. And then a lot of times that's when the IEP starts. So
you
and I have been in those IEP meetings.
Oh, yes.
Woo! I don't know. We'll have to do an entire show and try to explain to folks what that's the goals that you're setting. And but
you're in CPS, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm sending you my love right now.
The goal is every time you're around the table with all the teachers is to keep in mind that everyone's trying to do the right thing. We all just have a different way to get to it.
To get to it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And what you're doing by helping parents learn what to do in a broader sense with, you know, experiencing Chicago, Navy Pierce Children's Museum.
Yes.
The Botanic Gardens.
Yes.
And also what was the third?
City of Support.
City of Support, which is all of the Chicagoland area.
Yes. Yes. Including the suburbs, which is the area I live in. And the other really cool thing that is Shedd Aquarium has started, they have an accessible quiet room. Do you know about this?
I do not.
Yeah. I have not gone yet. And I can't wait to go because, and again, like Quiet Room is not 100% Jackson, but once in a while, you know, we could do that.
Right.
But they also are they're stepping up their accessibility is what they mentioned. And they said in addition to that, they are also doing some sort of a special tour that you can get that information on their sensory friendly app. Which, you know, you can find that on iTunes or Google Play.
See? That's so helpful.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And then the other thing is that you get to be in a room, you know, sort of in an area with other parents.
Yes.
And you get that sort of you're doing a good job. You get to have that sort of community as well.
Oh, yes. And we know we're just as isolated sometimes.
Well, and folks will ask me sometimes because I talk about it in my show when I do stand-up comedy. I talk about the different things that people say to us, the range of the good-hearted, kind warmth you get from strangers, but also the idea that somehow our privacy is not as important as someone else's curiosity has been one of the biggest struggles. And so people sometimes ask, you know, well, what should I say? And for every parent, it's different. But I will say, you know, look inside yourself. Think of what you would, if you were going through the worst, not the worst thing, but something that is a challenge, you know, whatever that is. Maybe you've gone through a period of grief and you remember some of the things that didn't land so kindly, you know, that people thought. There's everyone has an experience where they wish someone had just been more kind.
True.
And look, I've made mistakes too, right? So I'm not saying that every time you talk to somebody, you're going to hit it out of the park.
Sure.
What I would suggest is you start out by saying, you know, what's your child's name? Rather than like, what's wrong with him? Or, you know, why don't you try this? There have been so many moments I can remember them crystal clear. I can remember everything about it, what the day was like, what I was in the middle of trying to do, where someone's like, oh, it seems like he's hungry, so cranky. Or why is such a big boy still in a stroller? Why is your son still in a stroller? And you hear all those, and it was a wheelchair, right? But it just happened to look like a stroller.
Oh, my goodness.
So if you feel compelled, to have a conversation with a mother, I would say the first thing is, I guess, ask what your child, or say this, say, your son's adorable.
Thank you.
Start with that. Your son's adorable.
That, or beautiful eyes, something. Yeah. Could you like just make a compliment?
Yeah. Instead of launching into, you know, your point of view or your sort of imparting what you think the situation is. That's the hardest thing.
Unbelievable to me.
Will you hang out with me and talk to Jen Zanotti?
Of course.
Let's talk to Jen Zanotti.
Yeah.
All right. More after this on 720 WGN.
Sure, it feels like the world's a hot mess, but I know who can get us out of this.
I do love history. The better we understand the past, the better we understand the future.
Every week, I talk to kids doing great things on Kid of the Week.
I started a foundation to build a baseball field for people with both mental and physical impairments.
Let's celebrate these great stories early. What do you think you want to do?
A vet.
I want to be a teacher.
I want to be an orthodontist because you can help kids feel better at their smile.
Got a great kid? How about even a good kid in your life and you want to brag a little bit? Tell me about your Kid of the Week.
Steve Cochran's Kid of the Week. Find out more and nominate at WGNRadio.com/contest. And listen for the latest kid Tuesday mornings at 6:40.
Hi, this is Tom Janke with Builder Supply Outlet, here with Lindsay of House Smarts Radio. Hey, Lindsay, what's your next project?
I desperately need a new back door with glass to let the natural light in. Something durable that'll withstand the abuse of my kids coming in and out of the house and is energy efficient.
We've got exactly what you need. Our fiberglass doors are sturdy and built to last. There are many styles to choose from, full glass, half glass. We even have them with blinds in between, on the shelf and ready to go.
I love this door that has half glass and grills. It'll match my windows.
That's our fiberglass 9-light door that's only $199.
$199? Shut the back door. That's 25% less than the big box doors. It's no wonder why I always come to Builder Supply Outlet for my home improvement needs. Why go anywhere else?
Builder Supply Outlet is located just 5 miles east of the Oak Brook Shopping Mall on Cermak Road at 25th Avenue in Broadview. Or check us out online at buildersupplyoutlet.com.
Quality and savings are what you get at Builder Supply Outlet.
Honey, what are we going to do with your grandparents' old coins and jewelry?
I'm pretty sure they're worth some money.
You've been saying that for years.
Okay, how about PGS Gold and Coin? They're the best when it comes to selling family valuables.
And you know this because...
PGS, PGS, when it comes to your valuables, they're the best.
Do that again.
PGS, PGS, when it comes to your valuables, they're the best.
Isn't that the place Jeff sold his grandmother's jewelry when she passed?
Yep. He checked out PGSGoldandCoin.com and found tons of positive reviews. He was blown away by how much he got. Do you? Oh, you're already on the site.
Almost. PGSGoldandCoin.com.
PGS Gold and Coin, the upscale way of selling your coins, jewelry, diamonds, and collectibles. Family-owned and operated for over 10 years. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau with 3 Chicagoland locations, and they make house calls. PGSGoldandCoin.com or 888-416-2701. That's PGSGoldandCoin.com or 888-416-2701.
PGS, PGS, when it comes to your valuables, they're the best.
Hart, Schaffner & Marks is having a spring cleaning warehouse sale with Hart, Schaffner & Marks suits, sport coats, and trousers up to 75% off. Walter Morton suits, sport coats, and trousers, Austin Heller shoes, and Margaritaville men's and women's sportswear, too. It all gets started this Thursday, May 9th, and runs through Saturday, May 10th. Hart, Schaffner & Marks Spring Cleaning Warehouse Sale. 1529 Lee Street in Des Plaines, on the corner of Lee and Oakton. Distinctively dressing men for over 130 years. Free parking, too.
Wednesday, Starlin and the Marlins hit the North Side. Cubs Marlins Wednesday night at 8 on WGN-TV Sports.
You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show, and we are in the Allstate Skyline Studios. I'm very excited to share a guest that you've heard before on the show, but I can't believe it's been a year. Joining me in studio is Patricia Acera, and Patricia, it's been a year. Let's not let it be that long again.
I agree.
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
Come back. Come back tomorrow if you want.
Great.
Tell us about, because last year it was we talked about the International Voices Project. There were a lot of great programs going on, performances that folks really need to see. Tell us a little bit about this is the 10th year, right?
It's the 10th year, which is boggles the mind. We started this in 2010. I should remember that number, 2010, as a really small program. We got together with some of our cultural partners at the time, which was Instituto Cervantes, the Allianz, and the Goethe. And we said, you know, we want to find a way to bring these contemporary plays and translation into Chicago in a way that theater people can play with them and audiences can listen to them. That first year we did 3 readings and I thought, oh my God, how could I possibly do more? And this year we're doing 10.
You're doing 10. And this is going to be Tuesdays and Thursdays beginning when?
Beginning May 2nd through June 4th.
Okay, so May 2nd through June 4th.
At a new time, 6:30.
And why is that? What was the polling like? Were there
actually, it is part of polling. Yeah. We have a lot of regulars, like people who come to all of them.
Right.
And they come right from work.
That's what I was thinking.
Exactly. So there's that gap time.
Right.
So it's easier to start a little earlier, and then we're not rushed at the end when we have our reception.
Right.
Because people really want to hang out.
Right. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I love that. Had that come up in previous years, and finally you went, okay, we see the trend.
And Cervantes was great about being flexible with us and making that time work. It's an incredibly busy, complex schedule there.
Sure.
But they've been great about working out the schedule with us.
Now, for those who aren't familiar with Instituto Cervantes at 31 West Ohio Street, tell us a little bit about that space.
An incredibly beautiful space. This big, gorgeous lobby, classrooms, a library, a beautiful auditorium, beautifully centrally located near the Red Line. There's a jewel and restaurants. We couldn't ask for a better location.
A little something for everybody.
Yes.
So tell us then the part that everyone's coming to Instituto Cervantes for, the International Voices Project.
This year in particular is interesting. Our plays are taking an even more political edge, which they have in the past.
Right.
But even more so now. I think we're seeing a lot of the political climate that we see here, we're seeing in the world more, and playwrights are reflecting that more in their work.
Okay, and this is a collaboration. This is a playwrights from around the world,
right,
coming to Chicago,
right?
And how do you cultivate that? I mean, or at least how do you choose which productions you're going to put up? Because I'm guessing you get a lot of submissions.
We get a lot of submissions now because we reach out to partners around the world.
Uh-huh.
There's a national new play network for plays in translation. We have 13 partners around the country we work with. But it takes us a year to read them through, get rights. We have specific criteria. It's a long, long process.
And then when they're staged, they're in their mother language, the original language of the play,
they're
right?
In English.
Or are they in English?
English translation.
Right. So that's a part of the process as well. It's got to be something they've translated.
And it has to be a translation that has been produced at least once.
Okay, so it's not something where they just go, hey, we want to go up in Chicago.
That's right.
Here it is in English.
That's right.
Something different. So for casting then, do they come here to cast or are they bringing their own production company?
I use directors from around Chicago,
uh-huh.
particularly companies that are already committed to doing plays and translation.
Uh-huh.
They'll come to us with projects. We'll bring them to them. And the directors will pick their own casts. They're doing their rehearsals. I'm going to guess tonight there are probably 7 or 8 rehearsals going around the city of Chicago as we speak.
How do you feel having that much going on, that many plates spinning at the same time?
It's remarkable.
For your event. Yeah,
yeah, it's kind of crazy and it's exciting. I kind of can feel the energy and
yes.
I'm in touch with all of them. My production manager, stage manager, and house manager were at Cervantes today, kind of getting things in order. So it was really exciting. You could feel the momentum.
So 10 years in, what was the genesis for this? What was the idea behind wanting to bring all these voices together?
So I'm a director.
Uh-huh.
I lived in Rome for a couple of years. I'm a dual Italian. And I wanted to, one of the things that struck me over there was people would say, we didn't even know there was theater in Chicago.
Ah!
I know, imagine, right?
I would not doubt there is theater in Rome.
Exactly.
What?
Exactly.
The nerve.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it's very difficult to find plays making it across the continents in translation in ways that theater artists can find accessible.
Okay.
So when I moved back here in 2003, I started to work with different translators to start to commission plays in translation. So we began it then, and I thought, well, how do I get these into the hands of directors or artists or companies that might want to use it?
Mm-hmm.
And our traditional method of kind of playing with new work is a staged reading. We put it in front of people, we put it in the hands of artists, we play with it, and we see if we can make a connection to it.
Okay. Well, what a wonderful, destination, a wonderful way to bring people together in Chicago and to share different stories from around the world. Again, we're talking to Patrizia Acerra. How do I say your last name in Italian?
Acerra.
Acerra. See, I was doing it in Spanish, which does not do it justice. Acerra. Patrizia Acerra, and she is the executive director for the International Voices Project. You can go to ivpchicago.org. That's I as in Ignatius, Victory, Patrizia.
There you go.
Chicago.org. And tickets, okay, let's talk about this when we come back. Everyone wants to know how much tickets are. Let's take a quick break here. Again, we're talking about the International Voices Project running through June 4th at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 31 West Ohio Street. And I encourage everyone to go, and I'll tell you exactly why you know you want to go, because it costs you what? We'll find out when we come back on 720 WGN. Woohoo! Okay, so I teased you about how much tickets are going to be for the International Voices Project, and the executive director, Patricia Acera, is here to tell us that how much is this going to cost somebody? You know, they got to figure out where to park and everything.
It was really important to us to keep it as accessible as possible to artists, to audiences. So the whole event, every single night, is free.
How are you doing that?
We have like great magic. Sponsorship. The consulates jump in. We have cultural partners who jump in. Yeah, that's pretty much how we do it.
You're like going through the categories. You're like, yeah, sponsors. I think you are the first person involved in any theater production that's told me, well, the consulate got involved.
Yeah.
You know, usually the consulate gets involved in a movie when you have to go to the embassy to seek asylum and run away from the bad guys. But here, it's that we're putting on productions in Chicago for everyone to see again. That's at 31 West Ohio Street with the Instituto Cervantes. And, you know, you mentioned that you'd been traveling and had done theater in Rome. Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from Berwyn.
Berwyn girl.
In fact, today I posted on Facebook the clipping from the newspaper, because the Berwyn Life used to post the birth announcement. So I posted that online today.
And the birth announcement of you, you mean?
Of me.
Of you? Yeah. Is it your birthday?
It's not my birthday, but my mother found it. She's going through paperwork. She's like, oh, I've got this. And I posted it.
You had the biggest Throwback Thursday of all.
It was amazing.
It's not Thursday.
Right.
Yes.
I should have posted it Thursday.
That's okay. No, we'll do it again on Thursday.
Yeah.
Tell everyone, hey, in case you missed it the other day.
There you go.
Here's my Throwback Thursday. So were you involved in theater as a kid in Berwyn?
I was not, but my mother, when I was a kid, took me to a production of The Miracle Worker at Rosary College, back when it was Rosary College.
Right.
And I was mesmerized. That was it for me. I got to high school, there was a woman who came into our classroom and said, hey, if you're looking for something to do, we do theater here. You could come and hang out and meet people. I never left.
Wow.
Yeah,
I've told stories about being in the audience for, I think it was Sunday in the Park with George.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I thought, is that actor like doing that too? Like, doing that monologue or those lines to me, because it felt like he was looking at me. And I always wanted to be on stage and make somebody in the audience feel special.
Yeah.
Right? And that special comes from feeling connected to a story. It doesn't have to be something you identify with, but to have your world a little bit bigger in that moment, isn't it?
That's right, that you feel this connection across whatever might be between you. In our case, it might be cultures or languages or histories or geography. But there's this connection, and when you feel it, you go, wow, we're connected as humans. We've
right.
got a story to share with each other. And maybe it's going to transform the performer's life, and maybe it's going to transform the audience. It's a remarkable thing.
And for the International Voices Project, where do you have folks coming in from? Where are some of these playwrights?
This year we have a Romanian playwright coming in, although she's here in the country right now. I'll have my translator who's coming in from out east. I have an Italian translator who's actually coming in from Italy. I may have my South Korean translator coming in. So sometimes it's easier for the translators to get to us than the playwrights.
Oh, really?
And of course, they could speak in English.
Right.
Right. So they can advocate for the piece in a different way.
And I do love that in the description of this incredible event, again, running Tuesdays and Thursdays through June 4th at the Instituto Cervantes, is that Chicago, for a lot of people, you know, the Midwest is considered flyover area.
Right.
But for those who understand what Chicago means, we really are the heartbeat, the and as it mentions here, the crossroads of America.
That's right.
What has been the experience in the 10 years you've been doing this? Like, what has been the reaction from the playwrights and the people who come here for this event?
Playwrights are floored. We're now the largest event of our kind in North America.
Come on.
Kind of crazy.
That's
right?
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you. One of the things that we noticed early on and has continued, is that the local ethnic community that might be tied to that playwright shows up in groves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if they're born here, second generation, they feel this connection to that voice. And they feel a connection to each other hearing that voice. So that's been really surprising. I assumed it was going to be a kind of purely theatrical event, sort of the exercise that I've always known as a theater artist.
Mm-hmm.
But it's turned into this community event where we have people from all different kinds of walks of life who are willing to sit through any play. They're like, next week I'll try, you know, the South Korean, or I'll try the Romanian, or just for the experience of the potential connection or the experience of being with other people.
And the thing is, again, for those just catching up with us, the International Voices Project is free to go see any of these plays. Now, is it just one production a night?
One production a night, 10 nights, followed by a talkback and a free reception.
Hello. How much more free can it be?
Free.
Well, and the reception is nice, too, because I'll bet even the folks that are involved in the production have questions for the audience sometimes.
Absolutely. And they get feedback from the audience. And what I kind of consider the whole process, coming from a producing background, I consider it speed dating for plays.
Uh-huh.
I want the plays. I want the directors to kind of fall in love with the piece. I want the consulates and the cultural institutions to step up and go, here's what we can do. And together we make a production.
Well, it takes a lot of, you know, chutzpah to go up to the consulates and be like, hey, this is what we're doing. We'd like you to get involved. But it sounds as though over the years, this has become something that's important to them, too.
Yeah. And at first, it was kind of terrifying.
Yes.
But you find out that most of them have a cultural wing and they really want this kind of programming, but they don't have the connection in the community.
Okay.
So it's a way for them to establish connections in the local community.
And, I mean, are they learning more about the folks that are maybe our transplants here from?
Absolutely.
Oh, how cool. So you're making connections in all different ways.
That's right.
The little girl from Berwyn.
It's true.
But
it's true.
We are talking to the executive director of the International Voices Project, Patricia Acera. Am I saying that right now?
You got it.
That's going to be my favorite name to say all year. And again, this is all happening Tuesdays and Thursdays through June 4th at 6:30 p.m. So you get out of work, you head right over. You hang out with some nice folks. You see an incredible production. And then afterwards, there's a reception. There's a talk back. Talk back always sounds funny to me.
Oh, and they're great. The mix of people is remarkable.
And
yeah.
And that's the thing, too, is that I know that there's been conversations about it because the most interesting questions happen during talkbacks.
Yeah.
Like, I remember a woman, because I'm Latina, right? And I still haven't learned how to say Latinx or Latinx. And there was a woman older than me. She's like, am I Latinx? I don't know. And it was during a production for Teatro Luna. And we're, you know, the thing is, the nice thing is to have a space where people can grow together. And that's what that conversation's about afterwards, isn't it?
And feel free to say, I don't understand that. Or,
yes.
I never thought of it that way. I remember doing a reading at the Goethe years ago, and the play was set in Berlin, and there was an older woman who, her hand went right up at the end of the reading and said, that's not the Berlin I know. That's a whole different place. So tell me about it.
Right.
How is it different than what I know or what I imagined it to be?
Right. And that's, you know, what a great thing. Well, imagine more, I think, is what you're inviting everyone to do.
That's right.
At the International Voices Project. Again, this is they champion the work of global playwrights by creating opportunities to experience new and contemporary international plays in urban settings and on stages throughout. Is it throughout Chicago? What is that
We've
part?
We've now consolidated to Cervantes.
Okay, so that was previously.
That's right.
Been all over. Well, and how nice to have it all under one roof. Because
it also makes it possible for cultures that don't have a location of their own,
right,
to get fully equal to everyone else. Like, they have their day and their space.
Right. It's sort of a level playing field for everybody. So go to ivpchicago.org. Tickets are free. The reception afterwards is free. And help them continue to do this. You know, find out maybe from your company if they want to get involved in participating in the International Voices Project, too. So lovely to have you back.
I'm so glad to be back.
I have to have you back in a couple weeks.
Yes.
I want, you know, during the middle of the run, why don't we figure out if you want to bring anybody that maybe, you know, share the radio with them.
Yeah.
We would love to do that.
Great.
Have a wonderful evening. Thank you so much, Patricia.
Thank you.
Wish you the best. More after this on 720 WGN.
This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter, Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
Tell me something good. Tell me that.
Something good. 312-981-7200. You can call or text us. And Ro will let me know if you're calling because I am in Los Angeles. I can read your texts, though. And love hearing from so many of you tonight. I want to thank our friends Susan, who texted in some great information about the Lifeline Theater. And our friend Paul, who should be asleep right now, usually listens to us on our podcast, but woke up a little bit early. So thank you for the kind words. Paul, appreciate that. And also from the 219, we had some great texts tonight. So I want to thank you all for joining the conversation. And if you want to give us a call or text us now and tell us something good. It would be wonderful to hear from you. And I have to say, I am a little bit, as much as I'm homesick, I am having a great time in Los Angeles. I have to say, though, that every time I come to LA, it reminds me how much I love Chicago. And the traffic here is crazy. The lifestyle here, Ro, I don't know how you did it. How long did you live here?
An entire year.
And do you feel like you've recovered from it yet?
No, I don't think you ever really recover from LA.
Yeah. I mean, it had to be kind of shocking. What neighborhood did you live in, if I can ask?
I lived in Crenshaw, so I was in the area where they called the Jungles.
Okay. The Jungles?
The Jungles, right? That's what I said. And you know what's funny? I found out about the name or the nickname for that neighborhood by a bus driver on my way to my first day living in my apartment.
Really?
But they have these metal trees in the middle of this neighborhood, and that's why it's called the Jungles.
Oh, all right. I took a quite a bit of a tour with my mom today because she wanted to go to. Have you ever heard of? Have you ever heard of Mood Fabrics? If you've watched the show Project Runway, you're familiar with Mood.
I have not watched Project Runway.
You've never watched Project Runway?
Okay. I've seen like an episode or two, but I was a After America's Next Top Model. That was pretty much as far as my fashion shows went.
Okay, that's fair. I have to say that Project Runway was my jam for a while. And that store that they run to where they have to race through the aisles and grab big, huge, you know, bolts of fabric, that's Mood. And they have one in New York and one in Los Angeles. So mom wanted to venture out to, it's near Koreatown.
Okay.
If that gives you any, I had never been through those neighborhoods. It's funny because it is such a contrast when you're driving through Beverly Hills, and then you're like, oh right, this is a big urban area with all, just like Chicago, all kinds of neighborhoods. In Chicago, you can, you know, be driving through areas that you're like, I don't really know where I am right now, and the next thing you know, you're maybe in Wicker Park with a bunch of, you know, great bars and restaurants, and then you get to an area where, oh okay, not as much is going in here retail wise. This is where people live, you know, and they enjoy their city in ways that's so wide-ranging. I guess I don't pay as much attention to in Chicago because I'm just familiar with the areas. Did you get that feeling when you moved out here?
Yes and no. The difference between Chicago is that we're a lot closer to each other. And in California, is like all of the nice areas. You're talking like, what, Sherman Oaks, Beverly Hills.
Right.
Now, those areas are more northern than southern. So the other neighborhoods that you're looking at, like Crenshaw, Watts, though they're further south, and it takes a little bit of a minute. They're like right in between Orange County and Beverly Hills, you know? So it's weird. They don't have to necessarily pass it, versus like in Chicago, you don't have a choice.
Right.
Yeah, but I do definitely see the differences. Have you gotten a chance to really explore all of what is downtown L.A.?
No, I've never really. That's the thing. I realized that I've never been a tourist in Los Angeles. I wanted to find some places to take my mom. But when I'm here, it's generally for work, whether meetings or doing the comedy clubs or broadcasting. And again, my something good, by the way, is KTLA. But we'll get to that again in a minute. But the folks here have been amazing. But what parts would you say, would you recommend that I explore?
For downtown LA?
I guess. What do you like downtown?
Oh, there's this. I can't even remember the name of this restaurant, but every year they do a Bob's Burgers mock. Have you ever seen the show Bob's Burgers?
I have.
Okay, so they pretty much create the restaurant all over again in downtown. I can't if I can remember the name of the restaurant, I tell you to go visit them, because I think they do a couple things there actually. But that's been my favorite, one of my favorites since I've been there. Another one of my favorites downtown. Oh, there's a market. I'm so mad.
The Grove? You mean the Grove?
I think it is the Grove. Yes.
Yeah, that I went
to. The food place.
Yes. Well, because it's part mall. It's part like huge outdoor ritzy mall. And then there's a market with the deli. And oh my God, I had this place. I went to Bob's Donuts and Coffee. Was it Bob's or Bub's? I don't know. It was amazing. But yes, there's a great market where you can get fresh fruit and vegetables. I mean, their raspberries were $1.99 a pint. I'm like, what is this?
It's because they grow them there. It's amazing.
I know. Yes, everything. Oh, my. The blueberries are so much nicer here. The blueberries and the blackberries, it's all so much nicer.
All the fruit is so much fresher there. They So one of my friends from L.A. is from Oxnard. Mm-hmm. And Oxnard, California is where they do all the strawberries. Oh my gosh. She brought a fresh bushel, or what's the name for a bunch of strawberries?
I would say a bushel, right? A basket?
Bunch. Okay. Well, she brought a bunch of strawberries over, and they were so fresh. They were so plump and red, and oh my goodness, yeah. California does it better when it comes to that. I will say that.
I took mom to one of the little French restaurants inside the market at the Grove. Mm-hmm. And it was, and you figure it's the coast, and you would think that maybe the seafood would. And the sushi is amazing.
Yeah,
by the way.
Sushi is bomb. Have you been to the Korean barbecue spots?
No, that might have to be next. We went to a little tiny, I'm not kidding you, this place was a tiny little storefront behind a gas station called Tokyo Cube.
Mm-hmm.
So good. My mom was like, who would have thought? But we went to this French place and we ordered oysters. And my mom doesn't hold back when it comes to being disappointed in something. Mm. These are very small. And I was like, well, they're meaty, they're good. So yeah, so the seafood is pretty good. The fresh produce. Is there a bad avocado in the state of California?
There's no such thing unless you let it go bad because of the heat.
True. Yeah, we are having a wonderful time. And by the way, tomorrow night we're going to have John Tatey in studio. Oh, we've got Michael Palasak is going to be in studio on Wednesday. And we've got a lot of great conversations coming up. And I wanted to mention how much I've enjoyed hanging out at KTLA. It's only been a couple hours, but they've been really gracious setting me up in a little studio. I feel badly for anybody who has to do some of their recordings here. You know, when they're trying to put down tracks for upcoming, you know, stuff that's, you know, whether it's a promo or to edit and stuff like that, they're letting me use that room. And so I'm kind of watching the night crew and hanging out with Steve and CJ and Joe, my guy, who's made sure I have everything I need. So really nice people here.
Yeah, KTLA day.
I'm going to be, hopefully, I'm crossing my fingers and hoping they'll let me broadcast from here tomorrow night. I don't know if I'm trying to figure out ways to buy everybody here a gift. Not everybody, but the folks who make those decisions.
That'd be nice.
Right?
Yeah, that'd be really nice. You gotta get them, you can always send for a Gino's East Pizza from here.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Do you think they'll get me in?
That might. You gotta tell them, bring a little bit of Chicago to you, you know, letting you taste what we like.
Oh, by the way, the 847 says you can stop at the In-N-Out when you come out of LAX. My friends are all from there, from here. It's just something I love.
Patty, have you ever had In-N-Out?
I have.
What do you think? I'm not going to say my opinion first.
Well, I'm not a huge burger person. So all the burgers that people say you've got, like Whatabout Burger, is that one of those? Isn't that also a chain? In the Southwest, Whataburger or something like that?
Whataburger.
See? I don't even know. In-N-Out, Whataburger, and there's another one that people like out here, too. I think they're fine. I was showing Mom that there was like a line around the In-N-Out Burger drive-through, and it was 9 o'clock at night, not like after the bars were closing or anything. There's always a line at the In-N-Out.
I'm sorry. It's super overrated.
Because it's not Baba's. Does Baba's have burgers?
Baba's does have burgers, but that's not what they're known for.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go to Baba's, I would not suggest get a burger. You have to get the Philly cheesesteak. I still think In-N-Out burgers are overrated. I mean, it's cool because they're one of the first to do it, right? So it's like that novelty mm-hmm. of going to a vintage spot like that. But at the same time, it's literally a plain burger and a shake.
Is it the one that has like that onion sauce? Like they have some secret sauce that they...
Yeah, but everybody has a secret sauce, don't they?
I guess you're right about it. Well, what's your,
no shade.
I know. What's your go-to burger in Chicago then? Because mine, I know where mine is. Mine is Paradise Pup in Des Plaines.
Used to be Famous Dave's.
Mm,
Famous Dave's have some really good juicy burgers.
Mm, so what's your go-to now then? Do you not eat burgers anymore?
I haven't had burgers in a while, actually. Mm. Yeah, no, I haven't really had a good burger in a while. I have, however, had steak fries. Have you ever had steak fries?
Yes, love steak fries. Oh, see, now I'm hungry again. I feel like we spent this whole show talking about food and every once in a while.
We do. I feel like we use like half of every other show talking about food.
Can't help it. And we're not a good influence because it's after midnight. This is not a good time for folks to be eating before bedtime. Although, to be fair, Ro, I read that it's just your calorie intake throughout the day. As long as you're, you know, not going over what you should have already eaten. Although, I also have read that you should stop eating 3 hours before bed. It's a lot of mixed messages I'm getting about food.
Yeah, I've heard you should stop eating. I think it makes sense to not eat before bed just because you're not moving afterwards. You know, when you get up in the morning, you have breakfast, you're moving around, you're burning out those calories just a little bit. And then toward the end of the night, it's like, okay, I'm going to go lay down now. Just let my body enjoy all of the grease that is the food I just ate.
Well, you know for sure I'm getting a burger when I'm done here, don't you?
I have to get a burger. Enjoy it, though. Go outside and enjoy the beautiful, warm night.
Well, it's actually kind of cool here tonight. So really? I think it's about the same temps as Chicago.
Oh,
it's a little chilly. That's all right. I don't mind. It's still California. But I'm definitely getting a burger when I'm done here.
Where are you going to go eat your burger?
Well, maybe I'll go to Carl's. That's another place we don't have in Chicago.
Carl's Jr.?
Carl's Jr., we don't have that place.
No, but we have Hardee's. It's the same thing.
Is it really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll have to ask Joe where I should go for a burger. He'll tell me. I'm not getting, while I'm here, I mean, I'll wait till I get home to try one of those Impossible Burger King burgers. I'm curious about those.
Just go to a vegan spot and get a real Impossible Burger.
All right, before we go, because we got a couple minutes left for Tell Me Something Good, I want to thank everybody at KTLA. This has been an amazing evening, and being able to broadcast from your studios has been such it's a gift, because we had some technical issues where I usually broadcast from. This is such an upgrade of epic proportions, I can't even begin to tell you. And plus, I get to watch TV with Joe right over his shoulder. He's watching the end of Seinfeld, a little bit of CNN. And that's my something good tonight, is hanging out at KTLA. How about you, Ro? What's your something good?
My something good tonight is that my mom is enjoying her peace. She's been really stressed out lately. And it's weird because to be in the middle of one woman coming out of puberty, the other woman finishing up menopause, and I'm just somewhere in between is always awkward. So I'm very, very, very happy for her to just finally be relaxing.
That is very sweet. Did you figure out what you're going to do for Mother's Day?
I did, but I'm not going to say it on air because she's definitely listening tonight.
Okay, go to my Twitter account and you can see what I want to get my mom. I can't say it on the air because I know she's either listening right now because she's back at our house that we're staying here. We're going to talk about this in the next couple of days. I probably should just say it on the air. I'll make sure she doesn't listen.
Okay.
It's a really weird gift.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's very personal.
Okay.
Not that kind of personal, but it's similar. Okay, we'll figure it out.
All right.
Follow my Twitter. Go to Patty Vasquez CHI and see what I want to buy my mom for Mother's Day and see if it's wrong. Let's take a break here and then turn it over to Nick D. You're listening to 720 WGN.